confidence and humility naturally to me sound contradictory.
I think it all depends on where your confidence is in. Okay, now when I put my confidence there, okay, now I can be confident in who he is. That's kind of what faith is. My self-worth is based on who I am in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
That makes all the difference.
Yeah.
And I think that's that humble confidence.
Not, maybe the way I'm trying to describe confidence is not a confidence in yourself, but it's a freeing yourself from the worry and the anxiety. It's that kind of confidence.
We've talked about that for sure.
So welcome back to the other 167. Hey. Ben, I'm sure I've confused myself quite a bit for the show because I've listened to episode 6 through 10. I almost got that like recap episode done, but I've listened to most of it in the last 24 hours. So I don't really remember what we talked about last week.
Yeah.
I'm back to
good luck on me too, man. A week's a long time ago.
It is, man. I tell you though, it's been really cool. I think we said this last week, going back and listening to like episodes 1 through 5 again, and I told you I'd already gotten through, I think, 6 and 7, so I got 8, 9, and 10. I just finished them. I've got the recap episode down to an hour 12.
All right.
So I can get about another 12 trimmed off of it. We'll get it out. So I actually don't know which will come out first, the recap or this one. We'll see which one goes. So whenever you listen to this, either you're getting ready to have a recap come out very soon or it just came out. I'm not sure which.
Hey.
When the thought hit me, hey, let's put together like a recap episode.
Right.
That'd be kind of cool. I thought, man, that'd be kind of fun. And then I kind of like, sort of, I guess you'd say, spiritually committed to it. I kind of got into the process of it to where it was no quitting.
Right.
And then I did the math. I was like,
too
wait
late
a minute.
Turn around now.
So I'm guessing I'm going to have about 40 hours of listening time to combine. Because you got to listen through them all to trim them down. But then there's more cuts and more cuts.
Right.
But it's been really cool. And I was getting ready to settle in for it last night. I just looked up and said, I see what you did there.
Yeah,
well played. Because
yeah.
I'm getting a lot of time.
He's making sure that you've gotten all the lessons because you're having to listen to them again and again.
So, and I love that. And it's getting to hear, helping us to kind of get down to sort of the, what are those themes? And like we've said before, but, relationships, another word that we've used an awful
lot. Yeah, we use it a lot because that's the key.
Yeah. And even some things that... one of the topics I want to get into today is I texted you about Sunday about something that was kind of.
I think it was during the Cowboys and not in the Cowboys. The Cowboys were getting beat by the Packers.
That would be right.
Because I was reading
it,
laughing, thinking that's a pretty good topic there.
Yeah, but it's so we're going to get back on language. Every time we get on language, I feel like I got to throw my disclaimer out here. Like, listen, anybody who knows me, I don't need to be on any type of what should we talk about. Like, I think I'm working my way towards PG, but I'm still PG-13. I definitely say fewer bad words now, but that's mainly because I don't talk as much. I'm trying
to. that's the way you save yourself a lot of time.
That's right.
If you don't talk as much, you ain't got a lot to apologize for.
Mm-hmm.
Or you don't have to go back and retrace.
But I had an interesting one that I texted the other day, and your answer probably provoked me to think even more than it could have anyway. So someone had asked
That's what I try to do anyway, man. I hope you've seen that by now. Is I'm probably not going to give you a yes or no.
I want
you to have to wrestle with it to say, man, let's think about that. How does this work?
Yeah. So I'd asked you a version of, is this saying the Lord's name in vain? It's funny. I said, is oh my Lord saying Lord's name in vain? I correct myself in that text. I almost said, is saying, oh my Lord, taking the Lord's, and then I changed it. I was like, well, that pretty much answers itself. So I changed it to God just so you could answer
right.
it. But it was somewhat rhetorical, I guess. And we don't think about that very much, but you said it's more about the heart behind it. Like,
I think there's some of that.
You said that. Sort of as a comparison or analogy there was, it's like shoot or dang. Is that the same thing as cursing? It's more the heart behind it. And it's that kind of got me thinking a lot about the words we use, and certainly the words we use matter to God.
That's it.
And I want to get to that. But the heart behind it is more important to him. And I guess I'd maybe start just by asking this question. If I, and I understand neither are perfect or ideal, but if I say something to someone that is encouraging, uplifting, building them up, doing something to spread a godly message to them, but I use a word that maybe in the middle of that slipped in that I didn't mean to, whatever it may have been.
Right.
Or I put together the most perfectly structured, great-sounding sentence in the world that cuts somebody down and tells them that they're no good.
Right.
Which of those two is more pleasing to God?
I would definitely say it's not the latter.
Right.
Because the thing of it is, and that's the real answer, and what I think you must have done some work on it, because what I was wanting you to see on Sunday night is to dig deep and look at, okay, number one is when we talk about taking the Lord's name in vain, that's from Exodus, is the first time we see it in Exodus 20. And what it means is to use it in an irreverent way, a disrespectful way, a way that's not meant to be used. I mean, the name of God was so holy to the Jews that they wouldn't even say the name Yahweh. They would they would say something else. I mean, they just could not say it because, no, that's a name you don't say. And I think to some degree, we kind of changed that a little bit to where we might say OMG, or we might say, hey, look, I've led devotions on a Wednesday night and said, well, my Lord, mm-hmm. you know, or good gracious, or mm-hmm. good golly. And I think the thing of it is, I don't think it falls under that purview of, okay, it's not taking it in an irreverent or a disrespectful way, but I think I'm going to come at it at a different angle, and you just hit on it. My speech, Ephesians 4:29, Colossians 3, is our speech is supposed to be uplifting, and our speech is supposed to be encouraging. And so I'm going to look at it almost as, and I think if you go way, way back, we had a conversation about, all right, am I pulling someone towards Christ, or am I pushing someone away from Christ? Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that all my language, all my actions, everything I do is hopefully pulling someone towards Christ. So let's take it from there. If my speech is supposed to be uplifting, encouraging, okay, is that going to be, does that match? And I think it's one of, we always need to watch our language to make sure, okay, because if Jesus told us, he said, you're going to give account for every idle word, that's scary as it can be, because, man, I can't think of all the idle words I've said, and I got to give an account for every one of them. That's scary. So I want to make sure that we use our words wisely, and we make sure that everything we say is, Paul says, seasoned with salt. Mm-hmm. But I think take it another way of saying is, hey, it needs to be uplifting and encouraging. Is that uplifting and encouraging? I think that's where I'm going to be more towards, okay, rather than, okay, can I get by with saying X versus, okay, is my speech, is that actually encouraging to someone?
Yeah, and I think that...
And maybe that's what I meant by the heart behind it, the intent and wanting to, you know, what is the purpose of your speech?
Yeah, and I think that when you, with your answer, it's like, I think that's worth 5 minutes a show. And then you said something else, and I was like, no, we might be at 15 minutes. Because it's like,
because well, what I said general, was, I'd rather you say shoot, right. Or I'd rather you say, oh, dadgum, or my yeah. Lord, rather than...
Than well, something else, right. There's right. Like that. So that's where we kind of got to, like, are there degrees of different... And that's where you said, you're still working through that, maybe trying to figure, are there different degrees of,
you know,
this word's worse than that one?
And or I think therein lies the intent of that first definition. If it's taking God's name in a irreverent, disrespectful way, That's definitely.
Worse. Now we're talking. Now we're probably getting closer to blasphemous, or
that, or maybe we're starting to split hairs. Mm-hmm. And again, strain at a gnat, swallow a camel. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get too much into splitting hairs, or well, that's what's the definition? Is mm-hmm. I don't, you know, I'm not playing, you know, 90s politics. Yeah. I want to play. I mean, I want to come at it from, okay, yes, there is always that disrespect, that irreverence, but also let's look at it from the flip side of, is my speech edifying? Is it becoming of a child of God?
And I think that's maybe where I kind of give my disclaimer at the beginning of this, because people will think I'm a hypocrite for what I'm about to say. I am 100% guilty of what I'm about to say, mm-hmm. like the worst at it. So I'm not, it's just something I'm working on. But I think just in general, when I think about, okay, somebody at my, well, Reese asked me the other day, if I were in a movie and they told me to say this line, would it be okay if I said it? I said, yeah. I would ask you not to. And
she comes up with,
she does.
Oh,
man. She has some great questions. And I said, well, you could, I mean, it'd be up to you, I guess. But at the end of the day, like, I think you should be able to figure out a way to say that, because that doesn't really add any substance whatsoever to the sentence.
Right.
And then I really started thinking about that probably more after I said that to her. If you take all these, this is probably the third episode that we've brought up language, profanity, swearing, different things. And my takeaway has been kind of this. I would almost challenge you to see if you can come up with a swear word, a cuss word, God's name in vain, any one of these things that give me a sentence that it's absolutely pertinent and required for it to be there. It's right. almost never useful yeah. to the sentence. In fact, you could take any swear word, any four-letter word, anything that we bleep out on anything, mm-hmm. and you could substitute it for Jolly Rancher and say it in a sentence, it wouldn't make a bit of difference to it. But you'd sound really stupid if you said right. Jolly Rancher.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, I imagine to God that's kind of how we sound when we just throw words around that don't add any meaning to it. Then when we get to his name in vain, all I can kind of think about there is the old Will Smith thing with Chris Rock. Him, God saying, if you're going to act like that, get my name out your mouth. Before I slap it out of it. But yeah, if you're going to run around and say a bunch of things that don't make any sense, don't call my name in the middle
right.
of it.
That's
I
it.
Mean, but if you take the approach of, I was thinking after we were texting the other night, we really shouldn't say any words in vain. Mm. If you take the definition of vain is just meaningless, no purpose behind it. You shouldn't right. say anything with no purpose behind it.
Right.
And wow. if you take that, well, then you start. You don't say as much, which is
and you don't have
maybe why I don't cuss as much.
you don't have as much to apologize for, or
right.
think about. Should I have said that? And I think that might be a big piece of it. That you know, I don't look at it as. And maybe I'm wrong here, but I never saw Jesus as being the most loquacious, talking all the time person. I think mm-hmm. he chose his words wise, and when he chose them, he made you think on three different levels of. Whoa! What exactly are you getting at there?
I think, and maybe this is in scripture somewhere, but I think an intentionality behind your words and making yeah. sure that your words you're not just throwing them around aimless. Your words can be sort of like a weaponry of some sort, bullets, nuclear weapons, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call them. They can be used for good, but right. they can be much easier used for bad.
Yeah.
And you certainly don't want to just be throwing them around loosely and having them running around without much of a target behind
yeah.
them.
Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, tells us that your words can cause death. They can cause death or they can give life. Mm-hmm. And I believe that. I believe the power of life and death is in the tongue. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at people who maybe grew up in a home where parents were always belittling, putting down. Man, those folks, when they get to be adults, they're shambles. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're struggling just to be normal people because, well, you know, mom was so abusive. It ain't got to be physical. It can be just verbal. Mm-hmm. And, man, it takes its toll. At the same time, you get somebody who's always there to say, hey, I'm proud of you. Hey, good job. Or something like that. It makes a difference. Kind of like a boss, if you will. You know, that boss is always putting everybody down and nothing's ever good and I can't stand your work. Nobody wants to work for that jerk.
Yeah.
But now you get a boss that is supportive and, yeah, at times has to get on you, but at the same time is encouraging to you. Yeah, now I'm willing to go through a wall for that guy. Yeah. Same thing for a football coach. Anything else is, mm-hmm. yeah, if you got the right words, at times you have to be a little harsh, but at other times, man, that it gives life.
Yeah. There's something I've started to think a lot about in my prayer time and in my time with the kids and mm-hmm. Bible time, this general concept of working together instead of against each other.
Right.
I think we naturally want to turn everything into a competition.
Yeah.
Everything, that's where righteousness in the church comes from, is measure me against you and who's closest to this and creating this in business a lot.
Yeah.
You know, why is my business better than theirs and what do I yeah. do that's my competitive advantage and how do we put other people
in
business?
What can I do to get ahead? That's right.
But if you really take an approach of how can we work together and build off of each other's strengths
right.
instead of weaknesses, whether that's in business, whether that's in sports, whether it's in church, whether it's in your family, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of that. Like, what can we look for to grow together as opposed
right.
to cutting each other down and competing? But in 2 Corinthians 10, that's kind of what I'm maybe getting. There's a lot of that in there, mm-hmm. in that chapter, and kind of working together, and we are better together than we are individually,
right.
cutting each other down. So that's a really, like, very long monologue, but take whatever of that and go where you want with
yeah.
it. Am I right there in hearing some of that in 2 Corinthians 10?
Yeah, I think you are, and I think that's kind of what really, at the very heart of most of Paul's writings, if you really stop and think about it, and truth be known, probably most of Jesus' teachings, the world acts like that.
Mm-hmm.
The world is get what I can. The world is out for itself. The world is I got to take care of number one because nobody else will.
Mm-hmm.
The world is I got to be top dog. The church should be, when you come to Christ, is totally opposite. Paul tells us to honor others above ourselves. Jesus says, you've heard it said to love your neighbors and hate your enemies. I'm going to tell you, love your enemies. Whoa, that's totally opposite of what the normal way everything works. And I think that's what, you know, really at the heart of Christianity is totally opposite of the world. And it's almost we almost had to have a complete rewiring. You know, you hear stuff coming from the factory and they got to do a complete reboot.
Yeah.
That's what we have to have, is a complete reboot, because our internal wiring is geared towards self and self-preservation, self-promotion, self-aggrandizement. But when we go to Christ, it's about, I'm dead to self, and now I'm alive to Christ.
And you used that term rewiring, I think, in one of those 6 through 10s.
Yeah, I
just
heard
it.
I did.
And that was when I had said that I felt like I needed to see a different side of God. I saw the tough older brother kind of side. And in that, you kind of used that description of, as a rewiring. But they do kind of go hand in hand. When you have that loving father side of God, mm-hmm. you start to see the other people in society as more your brothers and sisters that you need to help along in this race, and not as someone that you have to compete with and step on their throats and beat them and everything.
It is. And therein lies that the love of God, the humility, all that's starting to come together. You're starting mm-hmm. to, you know, what you just said is exactly, it's no longer just about me or what I got to do. I want to be for others first, just mm-hmm. like Christ was. He said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for the many. So he came to be a servant.
Yeah.
And I've always said, you're never more like Christ than when you do that, when you serve. When you get that mentality of, it ain't about me, it's about others, it makes a big difference, and it comes from Christ.
And it's really cool to see what opportunities can be put together when you take that approach. Because you'll find a lot of opportunities around your life where it's like, oh, wow. You start to see opportunities to just have more efficient, I don't want to say efficient because that's not really the goal, but yeah, kind of more efficient lives
I think you're right.
Help each other through
I mean, Jesus says in John 10:10, I came to give life and give it more abundantly. I don't think he calls us to necessarily just, when we're helping others and they're helping you, you edify each other. And yeah, so it is efficiency. It is a higher calling, if you will, or a higher place.
And 2 Corinthians 10:12 is kind of where I start to circle some of these things here. And we do not dare classify ourselves or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. They measure themselves by themselves, and they are not wise. We, however, do not boast beyond proper limits. We will confine our boasting to the sphere of God himself. So I'm paraphrasing as
you
go along.
You
I'm
got
a terrible
it. You got
public
it.
Reader. But there's no good that comes from comparing ourselves to each other and trying to rank ourselves on that. And then when you start to get into that sphere of God, that's getting a little bit complicated for my mind to talk about without making it turn to 30 minutes. But there is that fellowship, family type thing of everybody around us. We're in the same boat trying to fight the same race, and we're not doing each other. It's kind of like two people drowning and trying to get to shore. If you fight each other, you're both going to drown.
Right.
Where if you can kind of work together and relax and float to shore, you might make it. If we're all out here in the middle of the ocean just trying to drown each other, we're all going down.
That's it. That's it. And I think, again, if you stop to think about it, it's a lot. If you for me to think I'm better than you, or always comparing myself to you, I'm using the wrong standard. That's two golfers like myself. We both shoot over 100. Okay, I beat you today. Woo wee! You shot 106. I shot 108.
Yeah,
that's not a great feat. I wouldn't go bragging about that.
Well, it's like we said again, this was fresh on my mind, but I think we compared it to two junior peewee or peewee football teams fighting over who's going to beat the Chiefs. You can't come close. I think that's like maybe the first degree of it, right? I think the second degree is we shouldn't compare each other to each.
Right.
But also, why fight with each other and compete with each other anyway when there's opportunities to work together on things?
And to lift people up.
And lift people up.
You asked, and I think it's one of, and I don't know, I hate to put words in your mouth, but I think one of the things that you have asked a couple of times, and I think it's always been something that you always say, I want to talk about that more. I want to talk about that more. So it makes me think, okay, is this one that's a little bit more difficult? And I think it's to love my neighbor as myself. That's what you're getting at.
Mm-hmm.
All right, one is that humility. But then the other is to love my neighbor as myself. And so now just as much as I want to succeed, I want to see my brother succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Just as much as I, you know, hate doing this, or I know they probably hate it, so I want to try to help them not have to do it. And so it is kind of that we're no longer striving against each other, but now it is a loving my brother as myself. So it's looking out for those things and making sure that they're taken care of. So it kind of comes a full circle, because we've talked a little bit about that, and you know, now we're beginning to see, and maybe it's just me, but things are beginning to dovetail a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, you got you're saved by grace through faith, which produces humility, which then produces a caring for others, which, you know, they all these things are so intertwined that maybe that's the other 167 is, man, the stuff we hear on Sunday builds like a Lego block, if you will, and hopefully they're building up to say, okay, this snaps into that, and this one may have to go to the side, but ultimately it's going to be a wall in the house,
yeah.
And you build that, and that's where the other 167 in faith is.
Well, and, you know, I want to bring up, this is kind of a funny thing, I guess, to go along with it, I added to my text the other night. The 30, 45 seconds, whatever it is, block around of church on Sunday where you had admitted to lying to your wife about I want you guys to go back and look at your like YouTube analytics of that, because I guarantee you that I put a spike on it, because I rewound that 100 times, I bet. But it was so funny. I almost thought I was watching a comedy skit for a second.
Yeah.
The way you delivered was really great. But it was really cool, too, because I bet there were a lot of people who didn't see that coming. Because
right.
People, not because you're the pastor, or not because... people don't admit to their mess ups.
Right.
We don't want to tell those.
Yeah.
Which is part of the reason everybody else thinks that they are imperfect, because they are messing up. Well, no, we're actually all messing up. We're just I mean, you've done it twice.
Just as fallen as y'all are.
I've done it twice too, but I can't share mine. Mine might get CPS called on one.
Yeah.
I went way too far down the road before I figured it out one time.
Listen, I didn't tell this part. This is the part that Renee was like, you should have finished the story. And I said, no, we don't need to finish the story. And there were times when she would call me, did you get Daniel? And she would hear the silence. And
mm-hmm.
then she wouldn't let me go too long. She said, no, I got him. I just want to see if you turn around again. I mean, that was her. I mean, she would already have him, but she wanted to see, what's he going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I done hit the brakes. I'm ready to flip it around. I'm going to do, what is it, the G-Wagons. Did you see that the other night that does a tank turn?
Uh-oh.
I was about to do a tank turn. They got these G-Wagons now that can basically do a tank turn and almost go.
Oh, wow.
You got to see it. It was wild. They had them out on Las Vegas Strip with all kinds of neon lights, and they had the G-Wagons doing, I mean, basically they were turning on a dime. And it's almost like a zero-turn lawnmower. And then underneath it, it says, do not try this. And I'm like, you're going to show me that it can do it, and you're going to think I ain't going to try that.
That's
the coolest thing I've ever seen. So I almost did that, a tank turn, just flip it around. And then she's like, no, I got it. I just want to see if, you know, aggravate you. And
awesome.
So that is. But I mean, I think it's one of, I think the world's had enough of pretend. We need to be real.
Yeah.
And look. I'm just as fallen as anybody else, and I'm just the Lord called me to preach and teach. I'm no different than anybody, and I don't want to put, and that's one of the things when I meet pastors, or, and sometimes it might be other denominations that, oh, he's up on a pedestal, and I'm kind of like, dude, you put your britches on just like me.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I struggle to find my car keys some morning, so I bet you do too. And so don't come at me as you're some spiritual Superman. We had a guest in church not too long ago. I mean, pretty he's well known. He's
mm-hmm.
a preacher, and he was just here. And everybody said, were you nervous? And I said, he didn't die for me.
Yeah.
I said, I'm more nervous about, okay, Lord, what I'm about to say, is it going to be glorifying to you? Is it going to be edifying to you? Or is somebody going to hear the truth today? I don't care if he liked it or not. No offense. But I think it's one of, you know, just being real. And I think the world has seen enough fake Christians. Maybe genuineness is what we need more than anything else.
Yeah, I couldn't possibly agree with that more. I mean,
yeah.
I think that's something that I was talking to a friend, a really good friend of mine over the weekend about that, and just people at church, there, and again, I don't know how much of it is, I think there's a little bit of both. There are people who are that self-righteous, that
there's also this,
we always kind of think that, so we're always guarded against it. But if people, I know I make enough mistakes, it's super easy, but when you start to talk to other people about, like what you did the other day, you explain, I bet you, everybody laughed when you said it, right? Nobody was sitting there saying, because you clearly weren't the only one who's done it. We all got it.
Everybody in that room has got to stretch the truth to try to save their behind.
The way you say it, I'm going to tell you, I lied.
Yes, I'll let you know.
So funny.
I did it without hesitation either. Yeah. That was deep down in my heart, because ain't like I said, should I lie here? No, it was,
yeah. You knew it.
Been around, baby.
I will soon.
Yeah, that's what I should have said. I don't know if I've left yet.
Yeah. But seriously, that's everywhere in life. People make their own mistakes. They have their own, they make their mistakes internally and externally. The thoughts, the way you approach things.
Right.
We all have those days where we're smiling on the outside, but it's our heart's not in it. You know, we all have that, but we think we got to pretend that we don't.
Yeah.
And then in doing that, everybody starts acting that way, and nobody's real.
Yeah.
There's no realness in it. Social media makes it worse.
Oh, gosh.
But nobody's
real. There we go. I said, gosh.
There you go. Well, see, if we get to a world where you tell me, gosh, is on my list, well, now I really ain't going to speak anymore.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, I just sat there and I thought, as soon as I said, well, daggum, what do you say?
Oh, daggum. There you go.
See, it's deep down in there, ain't it?
But see, what does daggum or gosh add to a sentence? It doesn't.
Yeah.
Save the breath the Lord gave you.
That's
for
right.
Something better.
For me, it's just agreeing with you of, yeah, you got that right. Social media is so fake, you can't see straight.
Yeah. Well, it's, I don't think I ever consumed social media, except for YouTube. I do.
Right.
YouTube.
Yeah.
I'll post it for the show
and
or for work or whatever.
Yeah, YouTube's an anomaly into itself, man, because where else can I go and find how to change a turn signal bulb on a 2009 Kia, and there's a 20-minute video that shows me step by step, and I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. I wished I'd had this in growing up.
It's unreal what you can – and I think I said before that their number one and number two most used things to answer question is Google and YouTube, and Google owns YouTube, so they pretty much have a monopoly on the answer market.
Yeah, so they do have. Wow, I didn't know they had both of them.
No, they have them both. So,
wow.
But yeah, it's cool because you can go to YouTube and find a 3-minute clip on how to download this software, or 20-minute on how to change a tire on a 4Runner, and I've watched that one 4 times.
Yeah. Or a 30-minute sermon, 40-minute sermon. Yeah. I mean, you can watch.
Or a 2-hour lecture. I mean, seriously, I've seen there's like a 12-hour digital marketing course on YouTube.
Wow.
I got an hour into it one time and then dropped it.
12 hours. You ought to get credit for that.
I should. Yeah, I think that's the reason I didn't finish it. If I'm not going to get any credit, I'm not going to.
What good is this?
But no, I think there needs to be a lot more of that amongst Christians, just looking around at owning your own flaws so that other people can be a little bit more comfortable in theirs, maybe, and just looking for ways to, hey, man, let me help you with that.
So we got be real, be loving.
Be real, be loving.
Humble. Yeah, I think we're getting on it.
I think we're getting in the right direction on all this stuff. Talking about it is one thing, carrying it out is something else. that's what the other one, 67, is about,
I think a lot of that comes from, if you stop and think about it, that part about caring for others, honoring others above ourselves, I mean, isn't that where faith comes into? Because, hey, I'm going to put myself out there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put myself in a place to where I might be taken advantage of. This person may not appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do it for their appreciation. So it takes faith to say, God, you've asked me to do that. I'm gonna step out and do that, trusting that you're going to take care of all the details and everything else that's in my life. There's faith that's involved in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the not only the doing, but the being, if you will.
Yeah, it goes back to the relationship side of it. I mean, as you feel that relationship more and more and more, you don't do it because you feel like you have to. You want to do it. There is a desire to do it. And that's where you get back to it's the heart of the matter and what's the heart behind it.
The want to.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to lie. Okay. You know, I'll give you a good example of this. A real good example. Last Wednesday, I've been meaning to come on Wednesday nights for a long time. And it sounds like a lot of fun. There's the meal, you've said before, $6. It's kind of hard to, I can't go to Wendy's for $6. No, and I've been meaning to do it for the longest time.
And chili for that.
I've been meaning to do it for the longest time. And then this past Wednesday, didn't have the kids, didn't have everything else going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that I may have to come over this way anyway.
Right.
But I can be honest with you, I didn't feel like it. I was tired. Yeah. I had a long day.
I think it was cold that night.
It was probably, it was kind of nasty. Yeah. And then things changed where I didn't have to come out this way anymore, but I could still come. I didn't. Because I thought, well, this is what we just talked about.
That's where
God don't want me there if I don't want to be there.
Streamed.
Yeah. That's right. If you live stream it, I'm all over it, you know?
Yeah, we have done that in the past. But I was like, it's Wednesday night. It ain't.
Next time, y'all just FaceTime me.
I don't even want to hit the button either. But Wednesday nights is only a 15-minute devotion that we do. It's nothing long and complicated. So I'm kind of like, don't bother with FaceTime or YouTube or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of to me. It was like, it's only 15 minutes. Like, just, but I didn't feel like, I'm not trying to defend the thing. I went and edited the podcast for a little bit. I got my God time in during that time.
Right.
But the point was, like, just don't do it. It's like, and it was kind of like God said, if you don't want to go, don't go. I don't want you there if you don't want to be there.
That's it.
You know, but it's cool when you have that real relationship with God, you can kind of look, I don't feel like it today. I'm sorry. I'll do this instead.
But now, if he's telling you go.
Now, might have said, no, you're going.
Yeah,
right. And there have been times where I've had to do things that I really didn't want.
You drag your carcass in here.
That's
right. And as much as you hate it. And there are times when, I'll be honest, I don't want to be here. But those are some of the times in the past that the Lord did more then. Mm-hmm. That it was like, now, ain't you glad you went?
Yeah. And those are, that's almost this podcast. I didn't want to, this is a terrible idea. Why we're doing this. But, always some stuff for church on Sunday, actually.
Oh, there you go.
Godly parents are sometimes people who forget people.
we're mistake makers.
Yeah, mistake makers.
And I struggle with the M there. One, they're models. They model what it means to follow the Lord. But I wanted people to understand, they're not perfect. So we make mistakes.
Let's talk about that a little bit there, actually, because that's a mistake makers. It ties back to what we just said a minute ago about church in general. Owning your mistakes, being real about yourself.
Yep.
That's something probably that's very new to me with the kids. I'm just trying to be much more myself with the kids.
Right.
I said something like this on the show one time that I started to realize everybody else around me knew how I felt about them except them, and that I should change that. But I've never been afraid to maybe own my mistakes with the kids.
Right.
But I have been trying to be a little bit more open with them in other ways and just being more direct with them and stuff.
Right.
But I think there is a lot to be said for showing your kids your imperfections and not, because that takes a lot of pressure off of them to feel like they have to be perfect. And it doesn't mean that you want them to go make mistakes. We're not encouraging you to make mistakes, but you said that, let them make the mistakes. That was part of your what you said in being able to let them.
Yeah, part of that is letting them learn to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there are times when, all right, they're going to make a stupid decision.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In fact, I know my kids well enough that I bet I know your kids well enough. They might have forgotten to do the homework, or they might have forgotten. And I tell you, there were times when Nicole would call me, Dad, I left my homework on the table, and your office is right across the street from the house, because the church was right across the street from the house. Could you bring it to me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, wait a minute. That's 40 minutes of my day that I've got to do just because you didn't do your responsibility.
Yeah.
And so parenting 101, when's the right time to say, I'm sorry, I can't.
Yeah.
You made that mistake. That's not my fault. Or, okay, I'll get you this time. Next time, no. And so having, but what I've learned is, they don't forget it much next time.
Yeah.
If there's mistakes and consequences, next time you'll remember your homework, right? And I think it's one of, that's what I was getting at, is letting your children, part of that growing up is realizing your actions carry consequences and your decisions are going to happen. And so protecting them from any ill will or any harm, you want to protect them from harm that's going to hurt them, but protecting them from every little hard situation in life, man, you're building a bunch of soft people.
Yeah. Yes, they're your responsibility. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you're abilities, even when it comes to your parenting, are still restricted to your own human condition.
Yeah, you're limited.
And there are going to be some things that you're going to have to just rely on, please God help this, please God help that. There's going to be a lot that you, that's where, and I think that kind of gets back to that dependence and surrender a little bit more too.
Well, and that's where your faith comes in, that's where your total dependence, because, hey, I can't change every situation.
Yeah. My kids have been asking me a lot lately about, I don't say two. They both asked me about getting baptized, and we've talked about it here. It's been a while since we had that. But it's been a year or so since we came over and talked with you, and we were talking about it the other night again. And it's one of those things where, like, I want them to get it,
right?
But me strong arming them into doing it is doing nothing whatsoever. Exactly. And it's like it's, and I was talking to Gabe about it the other night about it's. You're talking too much about the ceremony of baptism, right. Okay? That means nothing. I could care less about that.
Just a picture.
But when it comes to, and it started to be a little bit of a, had a little bit of anxiety about it. Like, well, am I answering this right? I'm really worried. At the end of the day, that's between him and God, right? I'm here to guide it, but ultimately, that's between him and God.
That's right. And what you want to make sure of is, and I think there's, for a parent, is don't put anything in the way that's going to impede it.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you got it right. Don't push them. But encourage them, and any questions they have, or because your mom and daddy can't make your decision for you.
Well, and you talked about you want to be models for what right. your walk with God looks yeah. like, and certainly you want to show them what that looks like. But at the end of the day, if there was a magic wand that I could wave that I could make Gabe, Reese, and Christian know Christ the way I wanted, then I would do it.
Boom.
But the only thing I can do is pray for that.
That's
and to lead by and do.
And lead by example. You
right.
got it.
But I can't make it. For them. Yeah, that's I can right. model it, but I cannot make them make that decision.
And it goes back to, don't forget, okay, we had models, you had mistake makers, but then you had a mark. There's something.
Intentionality, that's where I pulled that word.
You got to have something to aim for. And in Luke 2:52, it talks about Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor of God and man. And I said, well, that's wisdom. That's or intellectually, physically, spiritually, and socially. Mm-hmm. And you want to have a well-rounded adult in all four areas.
Yeah.
And so your goal is that when they are 18 years old, they are well-adjusted, Christ-loving, Christ-following adults.
Yeah.
And if you work on focus on those four areas, that'll be a big piece of it. And how you get there is going to be different for each child, I believe, because, look, let's be honest. Your children are – I've got three, and all three are different.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the first one, man, all you have to do is tell him you need to do X. And if you got on him, he's going to be brokenhearted and everything else.
Right.
Second, third one, little bit more that – okay, it took a little bit more of correcting and pointing out and – one of them you don't come at that way because mm-hmm. they're going to be ready to throw down and say, oh, and so you got to come, you got to know your children, but you also got to know your limitations, but also what do they need to go through to help them to make them well-adjusted, responsible adults.
Yeah. You do have to go to them with each individual with different approaches. And I think that also helps you to appreciate how well God does that.
he knows all of us and all our quirks and all our different personalities, and there's a ton of them.
Yeah, and he knows how to play those to your advantage. I mean, I was listening a lot to the episode where we talked about counting the costs when
right.
you come to God, because I thought about this the other day. Yeah, God's going to change who you are, but what he's going to do is just make you, and I hesitate to say it as the best version, he's going to make you a better version of the same,
right.
of yourself. And we talked about how...
Or he wants to make you more like Christ.
There you go. Yeah, that's a much, much better way of saying
it. And how that can happen, that I go from where I was to that, that's a miracle in itself.
I thought about this as an analogy. This is where I was going to talk about tech. Me and you both have talked about how we're not good with technology.
Right.
Okay. Have you ever gotten a new iPhone or a new device that it took you a little while to figure out how to turn it on, how to get it working, and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Well, look, man, when I got the phone that didn't have a home button, I was like,
that was confusing.
My life's over.
Yeah.
I'm going back to flip phone.
Yeah. So I really think that sometimes we kind of act like a new iPhone owner with God sometimes, and that we just don't know how to use it. So then we get mad and complain about his work and it's not working. No, it works just fine, but he's the power button. You got to find that, and you got to make sure you've got to get yourself booted up and set up properly for it to work. And he is that, yeah. Right? If you don't have that and you're just trying to, I bet a lot of, we're complaining about, we don't, this is broken, it's broken, it's broken. No, you just don't, you're not using you right.
And unlike Apple, God comes with a user manual.
Mm-hmm.
Where Apple, I bought Renee a iWatch, iPhone, what do you call those things? Watches?
Watches, yeah. Apple Watch, yeah.
She mentioned, I wouldn't mind having one of those, and it was her birthday, so I looked and found a good deal on one, and we opened it up. There's no manual.
Mm-mm.
And I said, well, how do you know how to use the thing? She said, I'm sure there's videos and YouTube videos, and I was like, man, I sure would like a manual.
Yeah.
But no, they don't do that anymore, but God does come with one that you can kind of figure it out.
Yeah, total, and it's a very detailed manual, and it's customized to an extent in that when you're, it's, that manual itself applies to, he knows how to use that and communicate specifically for your model what he wants done from that. I mean, it's a, so yeah, you can take that analogy and go a really long way with
it. And he's even got the one who wrote it, that's kind of the Holy Spirit was the one who inspired the scriptures. He's living inside of you trying to help you to understand it, illumination of the scriptures to be able to grab it. So yeah, that goes a whole lot better than Apple.
That's been one of my thoughts this week, is what a, difficult cycle humility can be, because you start to get it, and like the more you think you've got it, the less you really have it. It's a very
well, and that's the second that you begin to brag about being humble, you blew it.
Yeah,
and I heard somebody do that the other day, and I was like,
yeah.
And I think I can't remember where I was somewhere, and the guy even said, "I've always been humble," and I was like, I almost want to say, "Not right now." You might have, but not right now.
I've always been humble. Yeah. And that's similar to what I was kind of thinking. There was a contradictory quote that I thought of that was like, and I'm trying to remember what it was. It's like, gosh, did I write it? I had to have written it down somewhere.
Yeah,
hang on a second. I had to have put this somewhere. There's a line in here. I don't know what this means just off the top of my head right, talking about right now. But I submit for your consideration. You might be wrong. You say submit for your consideration all the time.
Yeah, that sounds like me.
Because I love that line, but I think that there is actually something I was going to say there. We as humans are naturally wired to, maybe this is just me, it's mostly just me, to automatically assume that our way is right. We tend to think our way is right.
That ain't just you.
If you just take the time, and the reason I said it that way, I submit for your consideration, just consider that you might be wrong for a second.
Right.
If everybody just takes 2 seconds, just is it possible that I'm wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And now imagine how much of an idiot you're going to look like if you keep going this way and prove to be wrong. You might take a little bit different approach to how you handle that situation. when I pray, I get in the habit. All right, so with my kids, especially Christian.
Okay.
Christian's always, I want candy. I'll say, good for you. And say,
that's it.
Can I have candy?
Right.
No, basically what I'm trying to get at is, may I have candy, please? That's what we're trying to get to.
Right.
Eventually we get that. Sometimes we can have the candy.
To teach them the manners.
Yeah, right. But then when I pray, almost all of my, even if I say it and I'm meaning it in a loving way, it's like, please God help me this, please God help me that. It's please followed by a command.
Right.
A command followed by please. Command. So I've been working on lately saying, may I have this please.
Right.
And it's weird, you kind of sound like a little bit of a 2 or 3 year old when you do that. But that's kind of, I think, a good byproduct of it. I've tried to approach God and ask for things from God the same way I ask my kids to ask things of me.
With not a oh, you owe it to me.
Yeah.
Or,
because there's a bunch of times that I'm like, God, can you do this for me, please? Like almost like with an attitude.
Yeah,
it's like no.
I think that's beautiful. I really do. In the fact of, you know, one, seeing yourself as a child-father relationship, which that's technically what it is. Number two is hey, I don't come expecting. And I don't come demanding to a holy God. I come just really, I hate to say it, I almost say groveling, but that's kind of what it is. And when we say, give us this day our daily bread, it goes all the way back to the most simplest of our needs, even the bread on the table.
Well, and that's I think when you think about a child of God and trying to find that loving Father, I've really tried to take it back to again, I take things to extremes, but if I see myself as the teenager to the loving Father, that's a little bit different. Right. I got to take it all the way back to like 2-3 year old version of me to get to that level.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
I really don't. I don't think there's anything taking it back to the 5, 6, 7 year old, even younger level.
Yeah.
Of the word dependence of, you know, Think of a five-year-old. They're not really going to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
I need that every bit of it.
Well, when you think about it, with Christian at least, if it's let's take a scenario where, you know, we talked about the Oreo in one episode. Let's take that one off. Let's talk about something legit. Like, it's dinner time. I've made your plate. Mm-hmm. You're ready to eat. And I haven't gotten your drink yet. It's coming, but I'm making the drinks. I haven't got to
yet. Yeah, you got everything going on.
I'm getting there, and he's saying, I want milk. I want milk.
I want it now.
Right.
Yeah.
And you start pitching a fit about it. All right, well, I'm going, with Christian especially, I'll dig my heels in. It's like,
I'm going to teach you some patience.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So he'll say, give me milk. He'll say, I want milk. And I'll say, good for you. He'll say, I'm thirsty. It's like, good for you.
Really thirsty.
By this point, Reese and Gabe are starting to interrupt and say, Christian, you have to say play. Yeah, they're trying to coach him up. But he's so stubborn, he's not going to do it.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about it is, we might go 5 minutes.
Right.
But as soon as he says, may I have milk, please, I'm already pouring it. Yes. The answer is rhetorical. That's maybe where you get to ask anything in my name and it shall be granted, given to you.
Yeah.
If what you're asking is in accordance with his will, yeah, I was going to give you milk as soon as you asked. Nice.
Right.
But you still have to ask nice.
Well, and let me throw a curve on that one then, because, you know, we talked about legalism and all that. I mean, when you go to James, the book of James says, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, wait a minute. So now we're back to works. And where does that work in? And again, James has always been that book that always brings works back up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been sitting here going Paul saying, oh, no, it's about your relationship. It's about faith. It's about, well, no, but your faith is going to produce works.
Yeah.
And so the prayer of a righteous man, that those who are living according to God's standards, yeah, that prayer availeth much.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of it does have to do with how it's asked, from the heart it's asked for, from the life it's being asked, or the life of the person that's living it, that's doing the asking. Yeah, there's a lot of that that goes into it. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there is that, you know, demanding versus, but yeah, that amazes me that it's that much of a, that's a strong-willed child, man.
Yeah, Christian would, sometimes he would rather thirst to death than to ask nice.
Yeah.
Like he really would.
Yeah.
And honestly, That's me. Like that's the thing that I've
and
had.
We've all got some strong will, hard headedness in us.
Yeah, it's but it's been. I love to look at my kids from God's perspective and use that. I've used that before, so that's a great
it
way.
It helps
for me.
Us to know.
Yeah, but it helps me really understand like what a brat I can be sometimes. You know, when you're.
yep.
But it's he's patient with us though. He does a good.
He's a lot more patient than I am, and I'm thankful for that. And that's the good news is he is patient and he is kind, and does continue to lead us towards repentance or towards godliness. And so that's the good news.
Well, and I think when I was talking last week about that that the fight that I have with God, there I was kind of being the rebellious teenager. You know what I mean? I think there are times that But I think as a general rule of thumb, if you want to be getting it right, let's work on being more the three-year-old and not the rebellious teenager. I think that's where I'm at.
The loving child to a father than a, I know more than you do.
Yeah.
I mean, when we were teenagers, we thought we knew more than our parents.
Yeah.
I've come to realize, no, I didn't.
Yeah. And that's been one of the most liberating things about it is that when you go back to that humility, you don't worry as much. That's where the gifts come from, is being able to relax and say, you know what? There's no reason for me to worry about this. I can't control it anyway.
Yeah.
That's one of the best gifts he can give you, actually, is just accepting I can't control it.
So, and it's that peace of mind to know I can't control it, but he's got it.
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wasted most of our time today with my ADD breaks, but we'll do better next time, man.
Are we at an hour?
We're right at it, man.